Welcome to the Lending Forward podcast, brought to you by Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group. This is your home for real discussions about the mortgage and housing industry. Our hosts are here bringing you firsthand accounts every week from people at the heart of the business. And we're chatting with professionals from all corners of the industry as they help cultivate transparency around the future of the industry we love. Together, we are lending forward all we know to you. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Let's dive in.
Happy Thursday. We are back with another Lending Forward episode, and I'm super pumped for this one. I've got my co-host here, Bill Hitchcock. Hey, Bill.
Hey, I'm definitely your partner in crime on this one, so I'm happy to be here and excited.
Do you want to introduce our guest?
Yeah. So really excited. We have, in the past 2 years, we have opened up a branch in Alabama, the great state of Alabama.
And a little pride.
There you go. Sorry for some of the Auburn fans out there. But as we've been there, we've met a lot of great people. And one of them, Miss Liz Power, who we have on today, and really excited to have her on. So Liz has been in the industry since 2009. So, yeah, tons of experience. Liz, you've probably kind of seen the waves, right? We've kind of had the peaks and valleys and the different things that have come along. And the one thing that I was super impressed with was all of the certifications that you have. It was kind of like the alphabet soup of designation. when you look through all those, I'm sure it's a lot on a business card. But one of the reasons why we have Liz on today and we're really excited about it is not just her success in kind of working for as an independent and then going through different team dynamics and coaching and all those great things, but also we really want to dive into understanding kind of how to maneuver through the real estate, the real estate world right now with the NAR lawsuit. I know it's top of mind. It's a big thing that's out there. But before we dive into that, Liz, go ahead and give us a little bit of kind of your background and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, hello. I'm Liz Power, as Bill said, and I'm pumped to be here with you guys. It is a happy Thursday, and I'm super pumped to be here. So, like you said, I've got a couple of letters behind my name, which really doesn't mean a whole lot to a whole lot of people, but I'm an education junkie, first and foremost, a seeker of knowledge, a seeker of understanding, and I think that that's important to be a lifelong learner in this industry. And I've been in real estate for about 15 years now. So, I've seen a lot of things. I've seen a lot of changes and shifts. And I think I had a good opportunity to learn through some difficult markets. And that's me in a nutshell there.
So, Liz, you're being a little bit modest. So last year, Business Elite awarded you top 40 under 40. You were in that select group. So now, was that something that you were always like, did that just happen organically, or did you have your mindset like, hey, I want to get this? I'm over 40, so of course I couldn't be in that group. But,
well, weirdly, one of my colleagues basically filled out an application or whatever and kind of nominated me, so I didn't really know much about it at the time. And I got contacted and they said, hey, we've picked you as one of the top 40 entrepreneurs under the age of 40 in the U.S. And I said, why? that was a cool, I feel like that's kind of one of those weird bucket list things in your career, which was awesome. And I feel fortunate to have been able to meet a lot of people way cooler than I am at that event. I think this industry is a funny industry to be in. It's competitive, but it's collaborative. So you have to balance, kind of that dichotomy and work. And I think it's good to keep good relationships with other business owners, other realtors, other vendors and things like that. And I think it's also important to, speak out and educate and, have difficult conversations as well. So I think that's kind of been the synopsis of my career. I like to ask questions. I like to, think with my consumer hat and, think through what it's like for the consumer that's going through the process and how we can do better as an industry, all of us.
Mm-hmm. Right. So when you look at that and you in that award, like you said, for entrepreneurs, I think being in our industry, you have to have that kind of entrepreneurial spirit. When you think of kind of yourself, is there any situation that you think really kind of highlights that for you when you kind of went out on your journey to be a top realtor or you know, in starting a business, or is there that one situation that you can kind of think of that, like, hey, this really encompasses my entrepreneurial spirit?
Yeah, you know, my parents are really hard workers. So, you know, I grew up with parents that worked sometimes 2 and 3 jobs, and I didn't want to be in a difficult financial situation as an adult. And so, funny enough, I got into real estate in 2009. And if you remember what was happening in our industry in 2009, everybody was like, you're crazy. You know, what the heck are you doing? Everybody's getting out of real estate. You know, the sky is falling and all this stuff. So I made a, I think, controversial decision in my family to go out and be, you know, an independent realtor and basically start your own business. And that's the funny part is people don't tell you when you get your real estate license, you're running your own business, you're generating your own business, you're operating basically as a solopreneur, as a, you know, business owner. And so I think that's a big challenge and a big leap for a lot of people to make. For me, I kind of viewed it as, hey, I get to be in charge of my own destiny here, and I've got unlimited potential to earn, but I've also got unlimited potential to spend and fail, right? So fear is a great motivator for me.
Right. Fear and a lack of groceries.
Yeah. I've had those moments.
Definitely. Well, Hannah, you invited me on, and I'm going to hog all the questions.
So, I know. It's okay. I was taking breaths as you were still talking. Yeah. No, but Liz, you have made a name for yourself since 2009. And so you started as a producing. You created your own company. Are you still producing today?
Yeah. So, you know, my business has taken on different iterations over time. I've built teams for others. I've built teams for myself. I built a company. I view everything as a sellable asset, right? So I built a company that you know, I was really pumped with our rankings. We reached number 25 in North Alabama, which doesn't sound like a lot, but North Alabama is like 13 counties. There were 480 offices, and my agency grew to number 25 by production. And I thought, well, that's pretty good. And then started getting offers to buy my company. So again, you know, everything's a business decision, right? So at some point I decided, hey, if I can go from managing, you know, 30 plus people to managing just my team and have a little bit more flexibility to pursue things that I want to pursue, that might be a good idea. So, you know, I'm 35 now, and I've built a business and sold it, and I'm still in production with my team, but my life is a lot simpler than it was when I was running a brokerage. And, you know, I do some coaching and consulting, as you've said. I work with other brokerage owners and leaders to help them build their systems, processes, hiring, firing, training, all that kind of stuff. And I enjoy it. It's fulfilling. So I think I'm at the stage in my life where I'm enjoying where I'm at. You know, I'm looking for that fulfillment and satisfaction from my job and not just the next sale.
Fantastic. And tell us the company that you're at now, because I'm sure after this podcast, people are probably going to be reaching out to ask you a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're in Huntsville, Alabama, more PhDs per capita than any city in the United States. And Huntsville is fast growing. And the company I work with now is an independent. The owners are fantastic. The company is Elements Realty. And we're small, but we're awesome. And I think that it's a great place. I love an independent brokerage. And I also do consulting through a company that I own, Empower Consulting, and have other brokerage owners and leaders call me for training and stuff like that.
Fantastic.
And you really found a little niche in training. And that's, you know, Bill and I were fascinated because you're going all over the place talking to other agents, other brokerages about this NAR lawsuit. And I think it's so cool that you're kind of stepping away from, I don't want to say stepping away, but you've taken a break from, you know, owning this brokerage, and now you're lending all of this information out to agents all over Alabama. And I mean, potentially other states, I guess, but yeah. How, walk us back a little bit. I mean, obviously everyone's into the NAR lawsuit and they're reading all the articles, but you've really dived in. And, you know, why did you see the need for, you know, the education around it? Or are you just, you like nerding out on things like this?
Well, I definitely do like to nerd out and in a business way, right?
Yes, professional. Well, always.
However, you know, a couple of years ago, these lawsuits started to gain some traction. And honestly, I try to take a really reasonable, balanced look at all this stuff. You know, if you look back over time, historically, the Department of Justice, they've been all over realtors because of how we operate. And so this is not new. People want to act like it's new. There have been antitrust allegations before. This one just happens to have made it through to the forefront. And I can't tell you that I'm surprised, to be honest with you. I've been teaching classes on this. You know, a few years ago, people would call me and just say, hey, what do you think about this? I saw this article, right? Which led me to dig deeper into it. And then over time, this has just kind of become my, I don't want to say pet project, but you know, it's become somewhat of a
passion project.
Yeah.
Passion project. Yeah. Because here's the deal, man. You know, in real estate, we have to educate consumers. And how do you do that if you don't actually know what's going on in your industry? Right. Mm-hmm. So there's just a lot to keep up with on a larger scale. And we tend to get tunnel vision as real estate professionals and salespeople. We're focused on our market and what's happening right here, right now. But there's a bigger picture, right? There are pieces moving on the board. And I think it's important to keep an awareness of that and keep a balanced approach to how you do business.
So, Liz, what is happening?
Cool up on this.
Yeah, this is a long, I'm going to make this real condensed, right? So the allegations have been, and there are multiple lawsuits going on. There's about 24 major lawsuits going on currently. However, the major lawsuits that you're hearing about now started a couple of years ago. A group of consumers got together and they wanted to essentially sue for damages because they felt that the price of homes was artificially inflated by the compensation for the realtor. And they felt that they didn't have a choice in how the realtor was compensated, which is a controversial subject in and of itself. And I won't dig too deep. This is a long topic, but basically the allegations were made that we use anti-competitive practices and that there's price fixing involved and some really scary terms when you get into, you know, Sherman antitrust and some of those things there. So those are the allegations. And the first kind of major lawsuit found against NAR and the named parties. And there have been some very large settlements ordered, $1.8 billion from NAR and 60 something million dollars from, I believe it was REMAX. And then Anywhere Real Estate had another settlement of like $85 million or something like that. So
and that's scary. Not to interrupt your role on that, but I mean, yeah. when you start seeing something that's that large with the brands that you mentioned, it makes everybody stop and take notice. And I really think that that's why we wanted to get you on here today. So sorry for interrupting, but those numbers are so bad.
Yeah, the numbers are high. And so, I mean, here's the deal, guys. Like when you go from, you know, basic standalone lawsuits to getting into class action lawsuits, that is scary because there are consumers all over the country that are kind of watching for what's going on here, as well as, you know, once they've had one victory, you know, copycat lawsuits emerge all over the country, which is why I say there's close to 24 lawsuits right now that I'm watching and that everybody is watching and should be watching to see what happens and how that's going to impact our industry and our practices.
Wow. Yeah. So keep going. Keep going with making sure that we know. And like, I think the thing here is to really get people to understand, you know, the what is happening, which I think you did a great job of touching on that. But then it's like, well, what's next? And, you know, how do buying agents and listing agents, you know, how do they continue to do their business and I guess stay compliant?
I'm seeing a couple of things, right? So I'm seeing some brokerage owners, leaders, personalities, whatever, acting like, hey, it's business as usual. Nothing is going to change. Happy, pappy sailing, right? So you're seeing some people are like, hey, there's no way that this is really going to go as far as people think. I disagree with them. You have others that are completely silent because they're afraid to be wrong. They're afraid to speak out. They're afraid to discuss it. They're afraid because they may not know what value they bring to a transaction. So it's harder for them to defend their own compensation, right? And then you've got the sky is falling folks that, you know, buyer's agency is going to go away. Realtors are never going to get paid again, you know, right? And if you remember the internet hysteria, I remember when the internet came out and true MLS syndication started being a thing where the address is out there, right? The price is out there. All the information about the house is out there. Consumers became empowered with information and people said, well, there's no way anybody's going to use a realtor again. The internet is the devil. And we're under siege from the internet, right? Does anybody remember that? Or is it just
me?
Yeah. Okay. No. So this is not that. This is something completely different. This is being received similarly, right? I don't think that we're in a sky is falling situation where realtors are not relevant, where realtors don't have a service that they provide in the marketplace that people want. But I also don't think that this is business as usual, pretend like everything's fine, you know, nothing's going to change, right? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So I believe compensation models are going to change over time, and compensation is a hot topic right now. So to me, the number one thing any realtor can take away from this conversation, if you hear nothing else that's said, is be very, very careful and very intentional in articulating your value and what you do for what price, and disclose how you get paid and be open to negotiate, right? So are you guys familiar with how insurance agents are paid?
Hannah, that's your world.
I was going to say I am, but let's pretend like the listeners are not. So go ahead and share.
So insurance agents have been paid the same way for ever, as far as I'm aware, which I've never worked in insurance. So you might, correct me, but insurance agents get paid when they sell a policy and they get paid at renewal, right? So it's ongoing pay, right? So you don't know that when you purchase a car insurance policy, your agent's getting paid and your agent's getting paid again and again and again at renewal, right? And nobody's attacking that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and mortgage brokers are paid when they originate a loan, right? When that loan comes to closing.
Mm-hmm.
Attorneys are paid sometimes by the hour and sometimes by the case if they are successful, right? And so I feel like, if anything, you know, consumers should consider, if they have such an issue with us getting paid, you know, a percentage or whatever, consider how other professionals are paid, right? Mm-hmm. It's not been brought to the forefront. It's not being talked about.
Yeah.
So do you think that it's more, sorry, Bill.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Do you think that the bigger issue is the disclosure of how the payments are being paid? I mean, is it more the fact that, you know, it's all lumped together in the seller's, you know, commission, and then it's kind of spread out? Like, do you think that's kind of the issue?
I think the issue is kind of a triple problem.
Okay.
One, lack of options, right? Okay. Agents historically, in my opinion, have not always been very forthcoming and clear that commission is negotiated between the broker and the consumer, right? Mm-hmm. And you have options on how that is done. You do have options. Commission is and has always been designed to be negotiable. And there are other models out there that would require somebody to pay no commission, right? You know, just like if I wanted to go on LegalZoom and get a divorce, I'm not going to get the same level of service, but can I get divorced on the internet? Absolutely, I can, right? Same with TurboTax, right? Mm-hmm. I can go do my own taxes, or I can pay a CPA, right? So that's one issue, is we don't, as an industry historically, we don't talk about kind of they have options and choices, and commission is a negotiable thing. It's always been designed to be that way. Two, bad training. Realtors have a tendency to just kind of spit out sound bites that they heard at a training and not use any critical thinking skills to understand what they're actually saying. Mm-hmm. And I will not talk about commission dollars or percentages, but what I can say is, there's bad training out there that's been around forever to say, well, you know, yeah, commission's negotiable and I charge a specified percentage. Mm-hmm. And if I don't charge you specified percentage, these are the services I can get rid of. What would you like me to not do?
Oh,
yeah.
And that's crappy training, yeah, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. You know, it's lazy. So I think it's important now more than ever for us to use our critical thinking skills and put our consumer hats on and say, hey, you know what? It's always been this way is not an acceptable reason to do anything,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Right.
And then third, you know, realtors are not super clear on articulating their value. And over the last many years, you know, I got into real estate in 2009, as you guys said, I was hustling foreclosures and making, you know, $900 on a sale after working for weeks and weeks and weeks. And, then paying my broker a split and paying my taxes and all the things. Right. So
that's called boot camp.
Yeah. Right. No, I went through, it's like one of my snow stories, uphill both ways in the snow. Right. So it's funny to me because great habits are forged in really tough, difficult markets, and really bad habits are forged in easy, you know, heavy sale markets. And so the last few years with COVID, we've had a really interesting market. There's been not much negotiation unless it was above list price, right? Mm-hmm. So people start to question, what does my realtor do? And unfortunately, mm-hmm. a lot of the realtors don't fully know what they do. They're newer in the business or they've had bad training. They don't understand. And their answer is always, well, this is how it's always been. And I don't like that answer, right? It's time right. that we step it up and learn, what value do we bring? How do we articulate that? How do we offer our services at a price that makes sense and negotiate through that with a seller or a buyer?
Yeah, that's I love the way that you put that is, because we talk about it too on the lending side. Our sales team, we always have to state, you know, our value. And it's not good enough just to, you know, say that, hey, somebody picked us, but you do have to kind of show what are the features and benefits of working with you and making sure that people are in agreement, you know, to those terms. And it seems like that's a lot of what has happened through this lawsuit is, you know, people feeling like that they weren't a party to agreeing to the terms other than sure. doing what's always been done and just signing the contract. So on your, as far as with your like practical day to day, your team, has your team made any, you know, bold changes in the way that you all are doing business or having those conversations when you're going out on a listing appointment or you're working with a buyer?
Absolutely. So, you know, one, we use a specific disclosure form now mm-hmm. that is very, very clear. That's an addendum essentially to an exclusive listing agreement or an exclusive buyer agency agreement. And every state is different. So let me please just be very, very clear. Know the laws in your state, right? So if you're listening to this and you're a real estate professional, one, do what your broker says. Two, if you don't like what your broker says, find an office that is giving you current relevant information, because education is really important right now. But whatever the state laws are, we allow true agency here. We allow dual agency here. And we have forms built into not just our board, but our state board and some other options there. So I believe disclosure and education are key, and I'm having weekly conversations with my team about how we discuss that with our seller clients as well as with a buyer. And then on top of that, articulating that value. You know, people assume, I think you ever had a problem and you're so close to it, you just can't really see.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see the forest through the trees. You're too close.
And that's why I have Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. You got to have somebody for that. Right. You know, and so similar, you know, if you're having a problem in your personal life, sometimes you're too close to it and you got to go to a trusted advisor, a friend, and be like, hey, what is going on here? I'm a big believer that a lot of realtors, unfortunately, are so distanced from wearing that consumer hat and being open minded when they read an article. They view it all one way or all the other. And my encouragement right now is, hey, you know, be open-minded in everything that you read and try to really take that information in and see, is it reasonable? Is it logical? And could I see a meaningful change that would allow me to better serve my clients? Because at the end of the day, what we do is to serve our clients. And quite frankly, you know, I've always viewed it like this. I'm not the agent for everyone. If you don't want the type of service that I provide and the type of communication that I provide and we're not a fit, right? That's not for everybody. So I keep having my agents come to me and say, hey, I'm really nervous about having this conversation about how I get paid. And unfortunately, I have to remind them, like, dude, you're in sales. We have to talk about how we get paid, right? Like, you provide a service for a fee, and we have to get really comfortable with those conversations. Mm-hmm. And if you can't articulate what you do, even the most basic things, if you don't talk about what you do and articulate it and show the value in it, nobody wants to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So are you having, you know, constant like scripting, coaching, role-playing conversations with your team, just getting them comfortable?
We are working on that. You know, it's at least a once a month conversation, if not more frequently, as far as things come up in moments. The other thing that I do is, you know, if one of my team members or even just an agent in my office that needs some help, if they're concerned or nervous about having those conversations, sometimes they'll take me with them to the listing appointment so I can help explain and just be there as an extra support. You know, and again, in my opinion, I believe by now most states are coming around to having some type of paper form to disclose options, right? To where people opt in to, do I want to pay the listing agent? Yes. At what percentage? And then do I want to pay a buyer's agent and offer cooperating broker, you know, compensation? Yes or no, right? And at what rate or percentage? So everything needs to be carefully documented, but also don't shy away from explaining what the things are. I think most realtors have come to this kind of bad four-letter word, right? Lazy position.
You had me scared there. I was scared what you were going to say, Liz.
I know.
Lazy. It's the worst terrible evil four-letter word. And, you know, we can't be lazy. We can't just send paperwork and say, hey, okay, click through the boxes. And I hope that you understood what you signed. I call my clients. I explain the paperwork. I explain what they're signing. They have questions sometimes. And the more we hone our skills and really get back to the fundamentals of saying, hey, doesn't matter if you've been in the business for 10 years, 15 years, you know, what value do you bring and what do you charge for it? And what do you do? What is somebody actually paying you to do?
Right, right.
Who pays me doesn't really matter. I don't care if I get paid by a seller or a buyer or whatever. You know, ultimately I offer a great service and I offer great value and I get paid for it.
Mm-hmm. So in our industry, I think that there is so much opportunity, and I've been doing this for 28 years, and I truly love what I love what I do. At the core of it, we help people get into homes, and it's, you know, the day to day, that's all different stuff. But I like the end goal of what we're really, you know, what we're really doing. So when you look at kind of, you know, speaking to the agents and the realtors that are out there in the market, you know, a lot of people came into the market, a lot are getting out, and now we're all waiting for, you know, rates and inventory to come back to have that, you know, that next boom season. There's so much training that's out there. In fact, you know, my office, I still have like the old CDs and actually some cassettes. So with all the training, with all the information and education that's out there, how are you helping your team or other people that you coach or train? How are you helping navigate them to the good training that's out there to, you know, to help them really be successful? Like how, like where's that store that says, hey, this is the good training, come here?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, I mean, there's lots of great training out there and it's available. It's readily available, whether it's free or paid or through a subscription service or whatever. I am recommending that people get a balanced view, right? So if the only training that you ever go to is in your office, you're going to get a pretty tunnel vision view of what's happening, right? You're getting one voice. If you only go to training at your local realtor association board office, you're getting an association only, heavily biased opinion. And I'm not anti-association. I serve on the state of Alabama board of directors. I'm not anti. That's not the point of what I'm saying, but I'm saying I don't surround myself with an echo chamber to where it's only people that agree with me and say the exact same thing. I want to hear every argument. I want to read from, you know, people that are against how we get paid. I want to read from people that are saying, hey, this is why we do what we do, and this is why the compensation model works or has worked historically. My advice to realtors is don't have a one-sided view of this. Try to be open-minded. At least listen. At least take the information in and say, hey, if I weren't so close to this, if I read the facts, just the facts, and take the emotion out, if I read just the facts, how would I feel? And what side would I move to, right? And, you know, I see a future where there will be multiple compensation models available to consumers to compensate a realtor, whether that be percentage and commission, flat rate and commission, hourly billing, you know, per project, per item billing. There's all kinds of ways that this can change and will change over time. And as you guys know, you know, industry and policy changes are really slow, and it's going to have to change somewhat with mortgage, right? So to put it back on you guys a little bit, I mean, do you think the mortgage policies might eventually change if buyers are paying more of the compensation? Because I do.
Well, Liz, we invited you on to help us out, not put the pressure on us. So, I'll answer. I'm sure Hannah will have some input too. I do think, you know, on both sides, we see the industry constantly changing. We see the regulations, the compliance around it. I will say, like, for us as a company, I mean, lending forward, we try to be very focused on, you know, making this a very broad, open forum for everybody. But for our specific company at Atlantic Bay, we do have people constantly monitoring all of the different changes that are coming through. And yep. And we have a compliance department, you know, and I think that that's one of the things we have to leverage their expertise and their knowledge to help us maneuver through it. And we try to stay really close to, you know, people like yourself. We build relationships with our true customers, which are our realtors, our builders, and we've got to understand what your struggles are so that we can provide better service. We've got to have features and benefits to give to you, so we've got to know what challenges you're facing.
And you guys are a tool in the tool belt, right? Mm-hmm. That's how I explain it to my, when I'm teaching a class, whether it's in my office or somewhere else, you know, good lenders, good vendors of any kind, whether it's a great home inspector, a great appraiser that you can call, you know, a great lender that you can call, those are all tools in the tool belt. And I've explained to realtors forever, if you're not talking about the fact that you are a connector of people and you have vetted vendors that can help them, that is part of the value that you bring, is you've had all of these experiences with different vendor partners. And, you know, just the run-of-the-mill consumer purchases 5 or 6 homes throughout their life, maybe, and they don't have the amount of experience with local vendors that their realtor partner could have. You know, my best year, I sold 76 houses by myself, which was not a year I want to do again. And
you did nothing else that year.
You know, that's literally all I did that year. And, you know, I think I took like a solid month off at the beginning of the next year because I needed a trip and I was sick. So, but, you know, I tried to explain it. We've got a lot of military clientele, and thank you to all of our veterans. We work with a lot of veterans in my office, me personally. And you'll talk to somebody who you would consider to be a very experienced purchaser. Let's just say a veteran as an example, right? They've moved a lot. They've been relocated over and over. So I might talk to a veteran that says, I've sold 10 houses before. And I'm like, I sold 10 houses last month, you know, and that's not negative. It's something that you need to demonstrate. If you are the consummate professional that you say you are as a realtor, explain, you know, hey, this is the value I bring to the table. I have vetted my vendors. I am going to help you navigate the difficult things. I've got a toolkit full of tools that are going to help you get through this process as pain-free as possible. Then let's be honest, guys, it's extremely inconvenient to sell your house, even if you have a realtor. So can you imagine if you're coordinating all the showings, doing everything yourself? You know, so I do believe that there is opportunity and change. I believe that there's opportunity for realtors to better paint a picture of what they do. I think it's going to take being extremely intentional and extremely careful in how we disclose facts and how we explain our value proposition and, you know, how we sell our services. At the end of the day, let's be honest, we sell a service, and we have to be clear about what it is that we do.
Mm-hmm. And I think change is inevitable. Lord, can I say that word? I don't know. In this industry, I mean, if you think about it, the way we did business 10 years ago is not the way we did business 5 years ago, which is not the way we did business 2 years ago. And that's, yep. You know, something that we talk about all the time is, you know, how you provided value in 2021 is not how you're going to provide value in 2024. And so, yeah. You know, you pushed it back to us a little bit, and I'm going to push it back to you is, you know, your lender is in your toolbox. How do you see your relationship with your lender changing through, you know, these changes? Are you leaning on them more? Are you looking for different value or maybe some more education? How do you see that relationship going this year?
Well, I will say education is important, right? And so I'm very much a stay in my lane. I'm not going to advise somebody on what type of loan to get. Now, do I have the basic information to tell my buyer client, hey, here's some options available to you. These are different types of loans. However, you need to call Bill, you need to call Hannah, you need to get with the professional and you need to get with them to really understand what's the best option for you. I'm not a mortgage loan officer. That's not what I do, right? So, you know, I do think relying on your partners and asking questions and making sure you stay in your lane is more important than ever. Also, what we need from lenders right now, too, is just, I think, acknowledgement that there's a little bit of concern and fear in your real estate partners right now, right? We're concerned. We're going through difficult stuff. We've seen no compensation offered, you know, listings to where we've got to have those conversations with our buyers. And we're looking to you going, hey, you know, how do we fit this in? How do we make this work? And we need somebody who is going to help say, you know, hey, even if I don't have all the answers, we're going to figure something out. We're going to find a solution together. You know, how do we do this properly?
Right.
So that's, you hit the nail on the head as far as education. You know, unfortunately, the sales meetings that I've been to back in the day, right? So I'm going to reference a really long time ago. This is not recent, but real estate company sales meetings used to be a lender coming in and going, well, an FHA loan is 3.5% down. And
is that how lenders talk?
I know, right? That's not my voice.
You know, this is what we talk like, right? And, you know, they're coming in and they're saying, this is how a loan works. And we've got in-house underwriters and, you know, you can call my processor and just, you know, text me on the weekend, but I'm probably not going to answer. And that's not it anymore.
I used to work for that guy a long time ago.
You worked with him? I did too. So, you know, so you didn't know that I could do voice impersonations, right? But yeah, you know, at the end of the day, we need people that we can count on to get the deal done. At the end of the day, people make this business really adversarial when it doesn't have to be. They look for the first person they can blame. You guys have been at the end of that before, I'm sure, where it's like, hey, something went wrong. There's a delay. Somebody's angry. And they're like, well, it's the lender's fault, you know? And there's all kinds of variables that go into a real estate closing. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important that realtors on my side, if you're listening to me and you're a real estate agent, you know, learn how to collaborate and cooperate with your partners and learn how to call for updates and keep the train on the tracks. But don't be adversarial with the people that are on your team trying to get this closed. Mm-hmm. That doesn't benefit anybody, right? And lenders, you guys know this, right? Communication is key. Nobody wants a surprise last minute that there's a delay. You know, as much as possible, I think people truly just want communication, clear expectations, and to understand what the true issue is, if there is one.
Fantastic.
This has been really good, Liz. And Bill and I can get real chatty and this could go for 2 hours, but we can't keep you for 2 hours, at least not today. But we can't let you leave without asking you, how do you plan on lending it forward in 2024?
Man, lending it forward in 2024, I want to help other agents. I want to help them understand. I want to help them grow. And I want to continue to serve the great people of the Huntsville, Alabama market. I love what I do. I'll never stop selling real estate. I love it. And, you know, we have to share information. You know, it doesn't diminish anything for me to share what I know with someone else. And I think a lot of times people view it like if I give some information away, it takes something from me. But, you know, the more we help each other, the more we all grow. And I think that sounds like a really Sunday school answer, but it's true. That's how I've learned this business over time. When I was new, I used to go corner somebody at the actual coffee pot when we went into real offices, you know, 15 years ago. And I would see them at the coffee pot and I would scurry over with my papers and be like, hey, I have a question. And they probably thought, oh, good grief, you know, here she comes. But make connections with people, right? We've become very antisocial as a society. And you got to connect with people and share the knowledge and share the experiences. And if I can connect with anybody that's heard this today, email me, call me, whatever. I would love to just talk. I'm not trying to sell you anything. I think we can all help each other.
Fantastic.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Liz. We'll make sure that all of your contact information is down below so people can reach out, because I do think you're just a wealth of knowledge. And I hope that some of the agents and, I mean, shoot, some of the lenders that are listening, reach out and learn a little bit from you. So thank you so much, Liz.
Thank you guys for the opportunity. And Bill, I got to tell you, I really like that shirt, man. It's super nice.
Thank you. It was a last minute grab.
I like it. You guys have a wonderful day.
Thanks again for tuning into today's episode of the Lending Forward podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our channel, follow us on Instagram at Lending Forward, on YouTube, and LinkedIn. Tune in next week for another new episode and go lend something forward today. Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group, LLC, NMLS number 72043, NMLSConsumerAccess.org is an equal opportunity lender and employer. Located at 600 Lynn Haven Parkway, Suite 100, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23452.